Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Crisp, beautiful, full of hope Friday Val.
And beans! You're full of hope?
Oh, I went outside. When I just went outside, because, you know, my basement is not connected to my house. I have to go outside to get into the basement. That's why I want to say, hold on, Tracy, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to go outside, back upstairs to go to the bathroom and then come back in.
Yes.
And when I walked out the back door today, it was just, it's cold, but it's brisk. It's not biting. And the sun is out and it smells so fresh. And I don't know, it made me feel happy.
Well, it is a happy day. There's a lot of things going on we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, I have basically avoided at all costs going into my house because I guess part of me was like, I don't want to ever go in there again. Just get rid of it and have it be done with.
It's like going down to the wreck of the Titanic.
Basically, I got to be honest, I had a really hard day yesterday. I was in my closet looking around at like my stuff. All the bridesmaids' dresses and clothes that I've accumulated and refused to throw away and all the things. Bags and shoes and things I've worked really hard to be able to afford myself. They're only things, I know. And then, you know, just kids' pictures that had been saturated in water, and just the whole house is just gone. And it just hit me all of a sudden. Like, I've been fine, but like yesterday, I sent some photos over to some friends of mine. Like, I didn't send any to you. I should have. My thermostat, like, literally melted off the wall. Just things like that.
Things like that. You're just like, that was my thermostat.
Yeah. It's very hard to explain. Like, I tried to go upstairs, which was so stupid. The stairs are good, but there's, like, nothing up there anymore. Like, it's gone. All my stuff is gone. My studio's gone. Everything's gone. It's just, and there's, like, nothing I can do about it. Like, it's hard to explain what if it's like so many memories that we'll make again. I know. And I know everybody's safe. And I know. And so I kept kicking myself as I sat there like sobbing uncontrollably for like a good hour. Like,
well,
I think
there's something you can do about it. You're doing it.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I've just distracted myself so much from it, you know, and I just dove back into work and I haven't been really thinking about it. And I'm trying to just, you know, go with the motions and be excited about, like, not only that, I'm not trying to hog up the podcast with this. I just feel like I don't talk about it. So
no, listen, grief is messy.
It's weird.
Grief is messy for human beings. It really is. And even though it wasn't a fire, I mean, I don't know. I had a very emotional night on the couch two nights ago.
Did
as
you?
I'm laying there. Yeah.
Not as bad as Brian Stelter, I'm sure.
Not as bad. No. Not like, you know, not like the breakdown while I'm painting my toenails or anything like that. I'm just saying, it was one of those nights where people like me, maybe we didn't have a house burned down, but I have done a very good job, as everybody has had to in one way or another. Some of us better than others, in just ignoring the fact of how reality has been burned down for us.
Yeah.
You know, it was really rough to, it's rough every once in a while to realize, oh my God, we're a third of the way through December and it's not allowed to feel like Christmas in so many ways.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're going to be, Thanksgiving was already like, I don't know, it's a Sunday dinner, you know, that you can't see anybody. And, because I don't know, it's a lot.
We're really going through some stuff in this country right now. We really are. Yeah. I don't think very many, like, sometimes I sit back and think about the gravity of it all outside of my personal circumstances. And that is so much more important right now. And that's why I've refocused and everything else will be okay. But like, this is just the most important thing in history. One of, anyway, so far. And it's a lot all at once. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, you know, I it's hard to explain what this is all like. It's very hard to explain. And not only that, but like I was going to say, lumber, there's a big shortage in lumber, something to do, I think, with COVID-19 and Canada. And it's like 70 times the cost as it usually is. And like, it's going to be like 8 weeks to get my roof trusses in. And like, I didn't even start that process yet. And then, you know, to bulldoze the whole thing down, like but it's going to be okay. And I know it is. I'm not complaining at all. I understand that this has to happen. We'll get through it. It'll be fine. Everything will be good. We'll have a beautiful home. We'll make new memories with everybody's names written on the wall, on the beams. Did I tell you I was going to do that?
No, but it's a good idea.
Everybody who donated or sent me a message, not even just donated money, but there are so many people who reached out to me and said, you know, I just can't right now, but I'm thinking and praying for you and blah, blah, blah. We have a little team we're assembling to write their names on the beams of my new house. So they're always with me. Always.
It's like the pesky pole out there in at Fenway Park, even though to hell with the Red Sox. I wish it was 5 years ago. So the only thing I'm thinking about is Red Sox.
I think about that too, Frank. I'm sure a lot of people out there do.
I haven't teased you about the Mets all year.
Not that. Just I wish it was 5 years ago. And, you know, it's been a lot longer than that for me. But like sometimes I listen to the TV's on in the background here and I hear the commercials for goods and like, you know, the Google Dot and blah, blah, whatever. And I'm like, there are really people out there right now that are blissfully unaware of anything that's going on right now. They don't know about it. They're doing their daily thing. They're going to their job. They're coming home and cooking dinner and you're like, what would it be like to be that person again? And I don't want to go there, but I think sometimes about it because it's a heavy burden that all of us, even everyone listening out there, is carrying right now.
Well, it's like, what's his name in The Matrix, negotiating
one last bite.
Negotiating his new life for giving up everybody in the underworld. And he said, you know, the one thing he realizes as he's eating a steak that doesn't exist, he says, ignorance is bliss. I want to be somebody important. Make me like a rock star or whatever the hell it is. And he's given up all of his friends. Not to saying that people that are living unaware are betraying people. Everybody is in the cocoon at one point or another. And it takes sometimes a little longer to get out of it. As far as looking on back, the good thing is this. The trick is this. You have to somehow identify the good old days when you're in them.
Yes, and cherish them.
And I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but even the last 5 years, as it's gotten progressively worse on the outside, the friends that we're all making, the work that we're all doing, we still have youth on our side in many ways. I really do believe that these are the good old days, as hard as they as they were. As I said, the Middle Ages were somebody's good old days, but as far as the acceleration of this year, I was just telling Rob last night, and then I'll stop talking. I told Rob last night before we went live for the 7 o'clock show. I said, "Hey Rob, you remember when Donald Trump got COVID?" I said, "You remember that back in the good old days?"
I know. It's crazy. Frank,
you got COVID.
Talk as much as you want because I got scolded the other day by a listener for playing the interview with Dr. Singh without you doing the interview. They said, yeah, like we only tune in to hear you. So I was like, ouch, that was rough. But sure, I get it. I know everybody loves to listen to Frank too. So you can talk as much as you want because it's your show too.
I've been very, very, very self-conscious from the beginning of us working on this podcast together. This is Tracy's podcast. I am
stupid
Robin on the sidecar of the bat bike.
I wouldn't do this without you. I wouldn't.
Well, that's why I don't like doing the solo Phil and Tracy shows. I'm like, it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's really not. I was thinking about this year, too. Not that this isn't exactly where I thought the show would go, but hey, you know, whatever. I was thinking so many things. It's been such a mixed bag personally and professionally this year for so many people. Like, the year has been the strangest in history, I think. I don't think you could find a year with more, you know, we've got the Intergalactic Federation now, Frank, so there's that.
Oh, we always have had it.
So we've got the Intergalactic Federation, which was in the WikiLeaks emails. Do you remember?
Yeah. The WikiLeaks emails, they told us about a moon base that the Russians had destroyed. an American moon base, the Russians. There's so much. Like, you remember a few months ago in the spring when Tucker Carlson took time out of his night to talk about how it is now confirmed, at least by their sources over there at Fox, that some of these craft that had been recovered over the years were not of earthly origin. And it was just as if you were to read off the scores of last night's football game or something. People just took it in. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I had money on that game. Oh, I lost $10. And what's the next thing? It's like, it's not of earthly origin.
Yeah.
It's 1997. That would be all we talked about all year. That's why I say any kind of alien appearance on a year like this, I do not believe 100% at all.
Yeah, because it's like the last thing they need. It's like the last thing that they need to put the final thread into whatever it is they're doing. It's like the last thing they need, and I just can't. So we've got alien invasions. They came. We have the coronavirus like pandemic. I think I sent myself a clip yesterday of. Here, this is pretty funny.
Hello, I'm Sergeant Constable Detective Officer Peter Pisspot from Twat Valley Police. As the COVID vaccine rolls out across the country, and we
Oh, someone's calling me. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
The first signs that we're finding our way out of this pandemic, I'd like to remind you all not to get carried away. Infection rates are still very high and the NHS still needs protecting. We're not out of the woods yet, and I would urge you all very strongly to keep following the rules regarding COVID restrictions. Of course, those rules vary between the different tiers, and some of you may have lost track of what they are. I know I have. Obviously, the rules regarding social distancing and household mixing do not apply to everybody. If you're a Sky News presenter or a B-list pop star, you can pretty much do what you like. But for the rest of us, it's very much business as usual regarding COVID restrictions. Wear your masks if you're at the shops, and indeed, wherever you are mixing with indoor crowds. You will have noticed that some individuals are choosing to wear their masks while driving their own car or walking their dog in the park, which is a marvellous display of virtue and obeisance, whilst admittedly being of no medical benefit to anybody. You can wear your mask wherever you like. This is a free country, after all. A free country that now has a very long list of things you're not allowed to do. Remember not to visit your family. For some of you, that will be easier than for others. I haven't been invited into my parents' home since I joined the police force. I believe it was my mother who said to me, "Son, pigs belong in the yard, not in the house." Please do keep washing your hands. I do understand that by now you've washed your hands so much and dried your skin out so comprehensively that your fingers have taken on the texture and appearance of twigs. But these are the sacrifices we have to make if we want to beat this pandemic. Please do continue to be vigilant, keep toeing the line, and remember, it's not over until we say it is.
And then right after that, I see a video of a scientist or whoever is going to go out, or legislator is going to go out onto the stage and talk to everybody about how horribly deadly the disease is, and we're in the throes of it, and he has no mask on. He puts it on and walks on stage.
I got a text message from a friend of mine in California, and they showed me one of the emergency alerts that popped up on their phone this week. And the I wish I had saved it. Where the hell did I put it?
How do you not save something like that?
Here it is. Emergency alert. State of California. Listen to how this is written. New public health stay-at-home order in your area. Okay, as if it's like a tornado warning. COVID-19 is spreading rapidly. Stay home except for essential activity. Like, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Everything is essential, like, if you're a human being. You need to have routines. You need to be out.
What was the last Tom Clancy Division? It's Division. It's the game Division.
It's spreading rapidly. You would think that you would walk outside and you see the sun blotted out by virus.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, the imagery that they're pushing on to people.
Mm-hmm.
The sun blotted out by a thousand arrows.
This whole thing is full. It really is full. There are more and more. This is just, people just need to. They're going to recall Gavin Newsom. You know that? They really are.
It's good.
They're getting the signatures. And he's going to be on the way out. We're going to get to all the election stuff, of course, and talk about the Supreme Court case, of course. But first, let's listen to our friendly representative who's been removed from all of her committees.
Oh.
Rep. Cynthia Johnson.
Out of their names.
It's a very important message she's got for everybody. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. I'm okay. I'm not worried. I'm not going into
language
I'm not
alert.
Going underground. I'm not changing my fucking phone number. I ain't doing none of that.
All right, we know, because you're a strong whammon.
Change some shit that's been going on in the city of Detroit.
Oh yeah, that's why we elected you.
Things that have happened to our people in our community.
Okay.
Oh yes, the Biden and Harris administration owes the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. For what?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I put my life on the line for not only the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the city of Detroit. I put my life on the line for justice.
Yeah. I'm not even going to play the rest because it's just a bunch of nonsense.
She's a really crazy histrionic woman.
She's really weird. Like, we see crazy politicians all the time. This is another step.
Well, she's got the first of all, like I said last night, I played a little bit of her other video because we spotted her from a mile away during that hearing. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago. It's like, okay, yeah, this woman's got a few screws loose. I'm sure somebody thinks it's like a sign of strength, but no, this is a real sick woman, because I have grown up around these histrionic drama queen types. She is putting on such an over the top dramatic performance. The way that her head is always up and looking down.
Yes.
Her nose, the rising and falling volumes of her voice, the dramatic pauses. She's a crazy bitch that has been waiting for a stage like this for a long time. And I don't know. This is someone who doesn't shy away from it. This is a person you have to watch out for. They want a magic scepter, and they don't care about people. They really don't. So that was something to observe. It's like, wow, she believes her own hype. Just listen to this performance.
She doesn't just believe her own hype. She has inflated her worth. She's a Michigan state representative. Like,
oh, this is how she's going to launch her Senate campaign one day.
She's
and you know, they do have a lot to thank places like Detroit. They have a lot of reasons to thank cities like Detroit, because they did the miracle campaign, the miraculous campaign of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They did something that hasn't been done since Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes. They were able to actually draw blood from stones. These big cities that had nothing left to give electorally, they were able to get even more out of.
Yeah, because they created them.
Yeah, exactly. They drew blood.
They literally.
Blood.
Yeah. Like they.
The proverbial stone that had nothing left to give. They found like 10 million more votes.
So Rand Paul last night did some great stuff. He was filibustering the War Powers Act or whatever the War Powers. What was up for? What was it? I'm not even paying attention to all this nonsense anymore.
What, the NDAA?
Yeah, because it's not important. Right. Well, it is important, obviously. But like, it doesn't matter anymore if we don't win the election battle. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So, like,
I,
really.
I want to see the NDAA blown away.
So Rand Paul, you know, went. He filibustered. He was trying to filibuster. He says, I'll soon be speaking on the floor about our America's endless wars. Today, the subject is war powers. The hawks and neocons somehow want you to believe, in contrast to all logic, that the president of the United States has the unitary power to go to war anytime he wants, anywhere, free from interference from Congress. The best part of any debate is when you see people twisting themselves in knots, going against their own alleged principles to get their desired results. When Congress tried to impose time limits on troop engagements during the Iraq War, the neocons squawked that it would be a mistake to have 535 generals. Yet they say now a president cannot leave a war without their permission. How absurd is that? It's exactly the opposite of both the Constitution and logic would dictate. Effectively, the neocons put forth the belief that the commander-in-chief has virtually unlimited powers to initiate wars. But they're just fine with hamstringing and preventing the commander-in-chief from ending a war. Hypocrisy, anyone?
Wait, did the War Powers Act come up for reauthorization, or are we talking about the NDAA?
I think he was filibustering the NDAA, but he was talking about war powers.
Okay.
There's something in there.
No, because we were talking, you remember War Powers Act, it was a part of the conversations that we were having and the debates we were having, I think, last year, whenever we were talking about the Syria withdrawals. And we've debated a lot of this stuff over the last couple of years. It's been a much more engaged population civically than ever before.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah. I remember squawking about this when they first drafted it.
Yeah.
There was PANDA, People Against the NDAA, started by a young kid. Oh, what's his name? He started an organization and we brought him to all kinds of different places to speak because he was so against it. He was great.
As people should, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, obviously, there are things inside of this that, like the indefinite detention of American citizens without due process, that is made possible through this. Of course, everybody talks about the Smith-Mundt Act and the effective legalization of domestic propaganda, but it's not like we haven't been propagandized to since the beginning of the 20th century, at least with mass media. So that was just like a coming out party, if you ask me. But the big thing here, Tracy, is the reason why anybody should be opposed to the NDAA is because it is antithetical to anything that our Congress should be doing. These big omnibus bills that are almost $1 trillion or $2 trillion a piece, packed with hundreds of little bills that should be voted on and debated individually, because then people in Congress would actually be worth and earning the money that they get.
They'd have to read something and actually process it.
Yeah, but what do? They put all of this stuff that serves us no real purpose.
They voted on ceiling fans the other day.
And it hurts us. And you know what they hold it up for? They hold up people in the military's paychecks. They hold them hostage. And that's why we get these politicized government shutdown situations, because you have these gigantic bills that contain everything on the inside, things that everybody hates, things that are very political, that should not ever be considered in a vote. But it's used as a hostage choke point. This is not the way that it should work.
It's really something. And then you've got too, Frank, this whole Hunter Biden thing, that is, it's just all of the people that screamed about Russian disinformation all of a sudden are all covering this as though they're not even attacking the fact that Donald Trump's Justice Department was doing the investigation. Is that weird to you?
Yeah, it is.
So they're
weird,
not
but normal.
Yeah, well, they're not criticizing the fact that it's Donald Trump's Justice Department doing the investigation that started in 2018. They're not questioning the fact that two Bidens, as we know of right now, are being investigated by the FBI. They're covering this. They're not. I mean, none of this is normal to me. Then they come out with an article about how Dianne Feinstein is like losing her mind. And I'm like, oh, I guess she's going to be accused of China stuff in a few minutes. And then they'll claim she's incompetent and she's out of her mind. She doesn't know. That's why she released the Glenn Simpson testimony a few years back when she had a cold.
What do you mean? Like, when you say losing her mind, she's actually people are saying that she has some physical problems right now?
Yes, there's articles out about her cognitive decline and how rapidly it's happening.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm seeing this. Hold on, I'm going to read it real quick. I have it.
Oh.
This is everywhere yesterday. Dianne Feinstein is seriously struggling with cognitive decline. She's the oldest member of the Senate at 87 and the most senior Democrat on its powerful Judiciary Committee and is seriously struggling with cognitive decline, a new report says. People familiar with the California lawmaker's situation told The New Yorker on Wednesday that Feinstein's short-term memory has grown so poor that she often forgets she's been briefed on a topic, accusing her staff of failing to do so just after they have.
This is incredible.
It gets better. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has had several painful discussions with Feinstein about stepping aside, but the octogenarian reportedly soon forgets about their talks, forcing Schumer to confront her again. One source said.
I'm surprised so far this article doesn't have a refresher warning about deepfakes. Is that in the footer? Oh, and by the way, watch out for fake videos.
And it's funny because this is The New Yorker. The source that gave this information apparently said it was like Groundhog Day with the pain fresh each time. Overtures were also reportedly made to Feinstein's billionaire husband, Richard C. Bloom. Grumblings over her performance have grown increasingly loud, leading to her decision to step down last month as ranking member of the elite Judiciary Committee. Pundits were unhappy with Feinstein's handling of the confirmation of President Trump's most recent Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. The lawmaker bungled several questions and caused a furor when she concluded Barrett's hearings by hugging Lindsey Graham and praising him for one of the best set of hearings that I've participated in. Now, wait. Schumer was reportedly so concerned about her performance that he installed a trusted former aide, Max Young, to embed in the Judiciary Committee to make sure the hearings didn't go off the rails.
What the hell?
They're getting in front of something for The New Yorker to be doing this. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
I'll be honest. I've watched hearings with her. She's never seemed like she's not spot on with... She's not seen... Like, I've never walked away from a hearing where Dianne Feinstein is doing something and said to myself, she's like a Pelosi or a Biden. She's pretty... In my opinion, anyway, what I've seen, she's pretty good.
Oh no, that's why this is out of nowhere for me.
Yep.
Because there was not as you know, Tracy, when we're watching these hearings, and there's so much to watch, and there's so much interest now these days, and it's not even just that. Okay, if you want to watch a senator or a congressman speak, you got to turn on C-SPAN or watch the news at night. Whatever, they are on social media. They are all over the place. They're very, very visible. And the one thing that we're always analyzing is the inflection in their voice. We're always analyzing what they're saying. We're always going back to hold it against things they said in the past. And we're always analyzing body language. Is this person signaling comms? You know, what are they doing here? Is there anything to read between the lines? We know that they're all snakes. And I mean, you can pick out a person who's struggling with Joe Biden it's a very unfortunate condition for anybody to be in. He's not very functional as an adult, as a man anymore. And same thing with Nancy Pelosi. She has a real problem. It's definitely mostly has to do with decades of substance abuse. But still, this is what we're seeing. Never, ever. Ever took anything like that away from Dianne Feinstein. I just saw her as an insidious, rotting character who has her fingers in everything. This is out of so nowhere that, yeah, my spidey sense is tingling.
So I have a tweet here, Frank. For my HC peeps, I don't know what this means. Just heard on Chris Salcido, an interview with Texas State Senator Paul Bettencourt, that they have four Supreme Court justices on board to hear the case, and it only takes four to hear it. This is after he talked to Paxton. He didn't know which four, so the case will be heard. I don't know if this is...
The Texas case?
Yes.
So the Supreme Court is not punting it. They're taking it up.
It seems so.
And only four judges are going to hear it?
No, they only need four to say they will.
Okay.
Apparently.
Well, I mean, hopefully I know what four of those are.
Yeah.
Now it's the fifth.
Who was the fifth?
The swing vote in all of this for me, now that Roberts has been neutralized, vote is Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Out of all of them, he is the softest of all of them.
And that makes sense given how they were able to come after him.
Oh yeah,
and affect him.
And there's another one. I mean, you're talking about Kavanaugh's hearing. I mean, that's another reason why Dianne Feinstein should start acting like she doesn't remember anything. She committed several not only ethical violations there, but she assisted perjury. But that's what I want to know. We always say that Kavanaugh coming in got a lot of people a little bit on edge. Said, okay, well, you're replacing Anthony Kennedy, and it's kind of a wash. Maybe you went a little bit more constitutional than Kennedy, but Kavanaugh's got this history with the Clintons and the Vince Foster thing and other things that people are uncomfortable with. He's definitely not Gorsuch, not Coney Barrett, definitely not Alito and Thomas. But then again, if anybody is human, if you're still human when you're a judge and you have such an open and shut case as far as this Article 2 violation in front of you, and it just so happens that by upholding what is so open and shut, also
you get to screw.
get to screw the people who crucified you and your family in front of national audiences in 2018. Oh, man. How do you not, as a human being, embrace that entire situation?
Especially
with Harris on as vice president.
We're gonna revisit the Texas lawsuit in a second, but I have to tell you, today's show is brought to you by ExpressVPN, Frank.
Oh, damn.
Yes, we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right?
Yes.
But this is what has taken my TV game to the next level, especially Will, because he watches New York television. He watches his sports using ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other states and countries. So he watches all his sports in New York and New York sports shows and stuff, and then, like, you know, the SNY and all that with his ExpressVPN. Hide your IP address lets you control where you want sites to think you're located, like Russia. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all of the Netflix libraries you can go through to see what they're trying to program other states and countries with. Love anime? Do you love anime?
No.
Well, some people do. And you can use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix. And there are hundreds of VPNs out there. But the reason why ExpressVPN is the best and why I use it is that it's ridiculously fast. There's not buffering. There's no lag. You can stream in HD, which is always great. And it's also compatible with all of your devices, your phone, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go, on the big screen, wherever you are. If you visit our special link right now, expressvpn.com/darktolight, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. So support the show. Very important. Watch what you want. Yeah, it's very important. And protect yourself at expressvpn.com/dark2light. Texas lawsuit, Frank.
Yes.
This is something crazy. So it's unprecedented in American history. Texas put out this thing, and then there were grumblings some states were going to join. And on Wednesday, we talked about this, right? We talked about the difference between states just making a claim that they'd join should the case move up. And then after our show on Wednesday, a lot of states filed amicus. Sure?
Yeah.
Okay, amicus briefs on the case, joining it as a friend of the court. In other words, not necessarily parties to the case. But then that changed yesterday when six states decided to become parties to the case in addition to the state of Texas, South Carolina, Missouri, Utah, and three other ones.
I read through a number of them last night.
Yeah, well, they all joined on as parties to the case, not just friend of the court filings. Then We had 25 state senators in Pennsylvania buck their own state and join to sue their own state. Then we had 100 and something representatives and senators from Congress and the Senate join doing the same thing. Then we had senators from and Republicans and some representatives from Georgia jump onto the lawsuit and sue their own state. We had
it's incredible.
We had the president of the United States intervene, and his attorney is a genius.
It's incredible. It really is.
It's really something what's going on. It's absolutely unprecedented what's happening right here. It's unprecedented. And
I had Chris Ann Hall on the show last night. She's dropped in a pinch just to be able to get on through some things that are being said about the whole thing. It was really good.
What did she say?
Well, I mean, I forget the exact. She debunked three lies that are being told by the media about what's going on in the country right now, or what's going on with the Texas lawsuit. And I forget the three lies, but it pretty much what it comes on down to. I should have had them written down, but I didn't know if we were going to talk about it. Just pretty much the way that, you know, they're either not covering this at all, or they're letting people know that this is in some way unprecedented. There's no basis for it. The Supreme Court is being used in a way that's not warranted, even though this is the most appropriate use and petitioning of the Supreme Court that we have seen
ever
in years.
Yeah.
It's not some.
It's a pure constitutional issue.
Absolutely. And it's not some, state group that is putting together some kind of a 14th Amendment argument to appeal all the way up to the high court and to legislate through some kind of a lawsuit. It's not that at all, which that should never go to the Supreme Court. It should just stay in the Supreme Court, the state in which the motion resided or whatever. This right here is a suit among states. They're the only jurisdiction that is had right now is had by the Supreme Court. So that's amazing. Now, everything else, I can't wait to see what exactly they're going to be. Look, what result are they seeking? Because I did some math, Tracy. Let's say that they said, okay, well, there's a clear Article 2 violations here, which there is. The last thing that you want if you're the Trump campaign is to just have these swing states, electoral college votes eliminated, because you'd still lose. What is it? Even if you take 72 electoral college votes, I think that is the total between Arizona and Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Georgia. I think it's like 72 electoral college votes. He'd still lose by like three votes. He needs to be rightfully awarded these states. So I hope that there's no disqualification that is ordered, because the disqualification of those votes don't help him either.
The one state that people are not paying enough attention, or maybe it's a good thing that's flying under the radar, is Arizona. There's another hearing today, and the Arizona GOP came out last night and said, big story tomorrow. 22 hours ago, there was a report from the Washington Times that the GOP case over voting software is heading to the Supreme Court.
Oh boy.
So the Supreme Court is going to be in for it. And I can't imagine that they're going to handle and take all of these cases. They're probably sitting with each other right now. What do you think they're doing in their robes? What do you think they're saying?
I don't know. They're probably saying a prayer. Some of them. Doing the right thing is going to be, it's not like, I don't know.
Who is going to hold? They can't be. It's like they can't be. They are who they are. They're the Supreme Court of the United States. Yeah, they Scalia met an unfortunate and untimely end. But what are they going to do to five justices on the Supreme Court?
They have the best shot of doing what they got to do and staying protected than anybody else does. I mean, there's more people taking risks on local levels right now than the Supreme Court justices that are set to be hearing these cases are. Yeah, they are going to be the ones. They have the heaviest hand in this entire fight right here for preservation of a nation. They have the heaviest hand, and they can do the most with one fell swoop. But as far as risk goes, it really, I mean, you think about all the people who have been threatened on a local level for testifying on about this, all these affidavits that have been kept under seal still.
Yeah.
I have it under good authority that in, you know, Rudy Giuliani has talked about how he has 5,000 affidavits alone that he's working with.
Go ahead.
I know that there's at least 3,000 affidavits that have been filed in the state of Pennsylvania alone.
If you go to defendingtherepublic.org and click on court filings and then click on Kraken court filings, you can find the Georgia, Michigan, Arizona. There's two Georgia cases. There's one at the district court and one in the 11th Circuit. And then the Wisconsin, all of the cases in district court that Sidney Powell has filed. I think there's one missing from here that she hasn't gotten up yet. But read through them. Read through the exhibits and attachments and all of that stuff. And understand, do you see what came out on Lou Dobbs last night?
Yes. What was this?
I don't know. You should see what it says. It was Lou Dobbs released a document that is handwritten, or not handwritten, typed up, and, you know, it says, people need to get familiar with four names. Jorge Rodriguez, he's the communications minister of Venezuela, and he's been the Cuban's main representation in Venezuela since the days of Chavez. He goes on TV down there daily to mock us. We have evidence that he's been the political leader of the election stealing project, the CEO of it all. Khalil Majid Mazoub, he's a Venezuelan of Lebanese origin who's the right-hand business frontman of Jorge Rodriguez. He's been the effective COO of the election project under Chavez and Maduro. He is a liaison with Hezbollah. Two technical experts, Gustavo Reyes Zumeta. He's an American-born Venezuelan who came up with the idea and designed and created the programs. He also worked as the founder and consultant in addition to other business ventures. Antonia Mujica, CEO of Smartmatic. He is the face of the company now. And this person who writes this, I don't know who, says we have now contracts, program details, incriminating information, and history. We have a warning to the mainstream media. You have purposefully sided with the forces that are trying to overthrow the U.S. system. These four people and their collaborators executed an electoral 9/11 against the United States with the cooperation and collusion of the media, the Democrat Party, and China. It is a cyber Pearl Harbor. We have identities, roles, and background of Dominion Smartmatic people. This will turn into a massive RICO filing. It is a Smartmatic Dominion voting system, Sequoia SGO. If you come forward now to cooperate with law enforcement, you will be better off. Cuba and Venezuela align with George Soros, the Chinese Communist Party, the Democrat Party, and the American media against the will of the people of the U.S. We have evidence linking all these companies together in legal documents, ownership structures, and sales of the companies. We uncovered a Chinese investment of $400 million into Dominion 4 weeks before the election. We now have corporate documents, the names of the shareholders, and amount of the stock they own, their schedules and calendars, and their messages to and from one another. We have technical presentations that prove there is an embedded controller in every Dominion machine that allows an election supervisor to move votes from one candidate to another. You've seen the video in Georgia that's been on Twitter the last 2 days. We have the architecture and systems that show how the machines can be controlled from external sources via the internet in violation of voting standards, federal law, state law, and contracts. We have proof that a current county election supervisor is a former senior executive of Dominion Voting Systems. This is a county that had significant voting anomalies in the 2020 election. The implications of that for law enforcement are clear.
So now, where did this come from?
This is Lou Dobbs tweeted this.
Oh no, I saw the tweet, but as far as the attached text, I just didn't understand the. Like, who is he getting that out there for?
I don't know where that came from. I have, I don't know. But keep that in your back pocket. Because the messages between them, that's what I perked up on.
Hmm.
So, John Reeves, who was calling me earlier, he had sent me just now an opinion from the Supreme Court in February of 2020, Justice Alito and Justice Thomas joined together. And they talk about leaving, whether or not they have the ability to not hear a case when brought from one state against another. It's quick. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
The motion for leave to file a bill of complaint is denied. Justice Thomas, with whom Justice Alito joins, dissenting from denial of motion for leave to file complaint. Today, the court denies Arizona leave to file complaint against California. Although we have discretion to decline review in other kinds of cases, we likely do not have discretion to decline review in cases within our original jurisdiction that arise between two or more states. The Constitution establishes our original jurisdiction in mandatory terms. Article 3 states that in all cases in which a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In this circumstance, we have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. Our original jurisdiction in suit between two states is also exclusive. As I have previously explained, if this court does not exercise jurisdiction over a controversy between two states, then the complaining state has no judicial forum in which to seek relief. In other words, if they don't hear the case, then the state of Texas can't go anywhere else to plead their case.
Exactly.
The court has provided... Our original jurisdiction in suits between two states is also exclusive, as I've previously explained. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Hold on. Denying leave to file in a case between two or more states is thus not only textually suspect, but also inequitable. The court has provided scant justification for reading shall to mean may. It has invoked its increasing duties with the appellate docket. And as an appellate But the court has failed to provide any analysis of the Constitution's text to justify our discretionary approach. Although I have applied the court's precedents in the past, I have since come to question those decisions. Arizona invites us to reconsider our discretionary approach, and I would do so. I respectfully dissent from the denial of leave to file a complaint.
Mm.
So, in other words, that's Justice Thomas.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He is wonderful. People are very
eloquent and just very solid. And you have a lot of confidence with a man like him doing his job. It's wonderful.
It is. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to call it for the day. It's the weekend. I have to go scope out some appliances. Hopefully do a YouTube video today. I haven't been on YouTube in over a month.
Well, do your thing.
And we'll be back on...
Just remember, but when you start off your YouTube video, just genuflect before a statue of Joe Biden and call him the president.
Yes, I will do that first.
Okay.
I have to build a statue, though. Maybe I can collect up some dog manure from around the neighborhood.
Dog crap.
And call it Joe Biden. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Sunny, bright, brisk... Hopeful Day Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
The issue in college football that is going to make its round on all the shows is Ohio State deserving? Have they played enough games? Four best, four most deserving. What is it? How is it? What should it be? You've heard me discuss. There's no real organization on the national college football level. And, you know, when I say there should be a de facto commissioner or something, I am not talking or seeking someone that will run the sport. I don't think that is the case. And, you know, Roger Goodell doesn't run the NFL, but I know people are not happy with government. At least it's not a dictatorship. And if there's one thing that can protect, at least from a governmental standpoint, and I'm not a political person, and people that are more learned about politics can maybe do pros and cons. And I really appreciate not getting into it because I don't really not into it. I'm using it in an analogous way. But when you have a Senate, House, you know, presidency, you've got a lot of people involved. And if there's one thing that maybe is good potentially in colleges, you usually have a board so that you can prevent somebody from going rogue. But yet it's much more complex, and it makes for some interesting decisions. And I have been a belief that college football is something that should be looked at from what's best for the entire sport. That is not the way it is. It is all for one and one for all.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.